bit trying to get the camera set up and off of the floor. And last night, it was charging from the projector. But this morning, it's not, so it's already dead. So we've got to set up a different way to do live stream. So forgive me for that. But that's why we have backups, right? That's right. All right. So sorry, Brother Kevin. I thought we were finally going to get everything out of your face, but not yet. But if you'll turn your Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 this morning, and we do want to welcome those who are joining us on the live stream. There are some who just cannot get out right now, and I'm thankful that we have the technology to try to reach out to them as well. And we're going to continue with that for as long as we possibly can. But today we're going to be in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, and we're going to learn about God's provision in a perverse world. I don't know if you're aware of this, but I think everybody is acutely aware of this. The world in which we live today is messed up. Judgment and justice are turned away backwards. Equity has fallen in the streets. There is a lot of inequity in the world today. There's a lot of injustice in the world today. There's a lot of oppression in the world today. But God is still sovereign. God is in control. And we're going to see some great truths about that today. In the middle of our passage of Scripture today, we're going to be in verses 8 through 20. Right sandwiched in the middle is a lot to do with money and the love of money. And we know that the love of money is the root of all evil or all kinds of evil. And we see the effect that the love of money has on the world around us today. We see that effect in government. We see that effect in those who are in positions of power and authority, how they corrupt things and they pervert judgment and justice because they love money more than they love truth. Amen. We also see that reality in our lives. When we get our eyes off of the things of heaven, when we get our eyes off of the things above, and we start to worry about the things down here, when we start worrying and being more concerned about money than we are about the things of heaven, we too get corrupted. We too become perverse in the way that we're living our lives. Money's something that is needful, it's helpful, and God blesses us with it, and we get to enjoy the things that God gives us at His hand when we understand those things are from the hand of God, and we take those things with thanksgiving to God. It can be a good thing. But we'll talk about some of those things, but I really want you to pay attention to we're really going to kind of focus in on two verses this morning as we look at this and glean some great truths from verse 8. At the beginning, and then verse 20 at the end. But if you're able, let's stand together for the reading of God's Word. I'll just go ahead and tell you, I'm a little bit excited. Church camp was good. Amen. And I'm a little bit excited. I got a little more energy because I'm only preaching this sermon one time today. And so I'm kind of excited about that. And I'm happy to see everybody here at the same time on a Sunday morning. I'm glad about that. I'm excited about that. We saw a need to make room to grow as we began 2020, but then 2020 happened, right? And so things have been different, and we've tried to struggle through. But I thank God for a church that cares about the things of God enough to move forward in faith and not succumb to the fear. I thank God for a church that wants to be mission-minded, that the Great Commission hasn't changed. The call to assemble and to worship and to preach and to reach this world with the gospel, none of those things have changed, and they're not going to change. Amen. And so we get to continue to move forward. I'm thankful for you being here. For those who could not come in person, I'm so thankful that we have the live stream. So let's get ready. Amen. Let's get ready to hear from the Word of God, okay? Verse 8, if thou seest the oppression of the poor, and violent perverting of judgment and justice in a province, marvel not at the matter, for he that is higher than the highest regardeth, and there be higher than they. Moreover, the profit of the earth is for all. The king himself is served by the field. He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This also is vanity. When goods increase, they are increased that eat them. And what good is there to the owners thereof, saving the beholding of them with their eyes? The sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eat little or much. But the abundance of the rich will not suffer him or allow him to sleep. There is a sore evil which I have seen under the sun, namely, riches kept for the owners thereof to their hurt. But those riches perish by evil travail. And he begetteth a son, and there is nothing in his hand. As he came forth of his mother's womb, naked shall he return to go as he came, and shall take nothing of his labor, which he may carry away in his hand. This also is a sore evil, that in all points as he came, so shall he go. And what profit hath he that hath labored for the wind? All his days also he eateth in darkness, and he hath much sorrow and wrath with his sickness. Behold, that which I have seen, it is good and comely for one to eat and to drink and to enjoy the good of all his labor that he taketh under the sun all the days of his life, which God giveth him. For it is his portion. Every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth, and hath given him power to eat thereof, and to take his portion, and to rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of God. For he shall not much remember the days of his life, because God answereth him in the joy of his heart. Let's pray together. Father, this morning, come before your throne again, and I just come thankful for the word of God, that we can open up your word and see your truth and be spoken to by your spirit through your scriptures. Father, I pray that you'd help me, for I'm nothing without you, and I pray that you'd help us today to trust in you and to obey you. Father, that today we would rejoice for your watch care over us. Today we would have joy in our souls because of the answers that you give us in our hearts. And Father, I just pray that you'd help me, for I'm nothing without you. Lord, if there's one among us or watching online who's never been born again, I pray today would be the day they would turn from their sin and unbelief, and that they would trust in the finished work of Jesus with all their heart. That today they would call on your name in prayer and believe in Jesus as their personal Savior. And Father, for all who are saved, I pray you'd help us to follow you in baptism and identify with you publicly. I pray that you'd help those who are in the church, that we would be faithful and serve you and be the church as we go through our daily lives. Lord, we thank you for Christ our Savior. We pray these things in your precious and holy name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Two basic things that I want to draw to your attention this morning. One is the perversion of justice, and two is the provision of God. One is the perversion of justice. He says, marvel not when you see the oppression of the poor. Marvel not when you see violent perverting of judgment and justice in a province. When you see bad things happen in the world today, don't be surprised. Matthew Henry said it's the oppression under the color of law and backed with power. And we see that happening in the world today. We see the poor are oppressed. The poor are oppressed. And it's something that God calls us to make sure that that doesn't happen in our lives. In James chapter 2 and verse 6, James chapter 2 and verse 6, the Bible says, "But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before judgment seats?" Even James, writing to the churches in the first century, he says, "You oppress the poor." It was happening in the churches. They would treat people who would come into their assembly, people who were not saved were coming into the assembly, and people were being treated differently by people in the church. Somebody comes in with goodly apparel. "Hey, come up here. We got a good seat for you." Somebody comes in and they're poor and they're kind of disheveled and maybe they smell bad, and you say, "Hey, why don't you go ahead and just kind of hang back here?" And they were oppressing the poor by their attitude toward the poor. Friends, it ought not to be so in the Lord's church, because Jesus died for all. And we ought to love everyone the same. Amen. Now, the truth is, it's easier for us to love people who are like us. people who look like us and talk like us and dress like us and act like us and live like us. And that for each of us individually, we tend to identify with those people and we tend to kind of have a heart for those people. We kind of understand and we have a tendency to treat other people that are different than us differently. But we're to love everyone the same in Christ. Amen. Listen, Jesus didn't die for rich people. He died for all people. It was said at camp this week, Jesus didn't die for all of you. I kind of sat up and paid attention when they said that. Like, what's happening right now? Jesus didn't die for all of you. He said Jesus died for each of you. Amen. I was like, oh, okay. That's good. That's deep. It's not just that Jesus died for the whole world. He died for each person individually. And he died for people who were Jews, and he died for all the Gentiles, and he died for wealthy people, and he died for poor people. He died for people who smell good and people who smell bad. Praise God. Amen. Yeah, some of you need to amen that. Listen, he died for everybody. And so we ought to love everybody. We can't treat people different because they don't have as much. In Matthew chapter 11, verses 5 and 6, Jesus says, the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. I want you to get this. John the Baptist was a lot like us. He knew the truth, but then he got a little confused. He got a little scared. He got a little nervous. His faith kind of wavered a little bit. He said, is it really you, Jesus? Are you really Messiah? Are we looking for somebody else? And he told John's disciples, you go back and tell him this. And he quotes from the Old Testament. He says, the blind receive their sight. The lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised. And the poor have the gospel preached to them. I want you to get this. This church, it does not exist to correct all of the social injustices in the world today. Amen. This church exists to get the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. Now listen, that may mean that we provide some clothing to people who need clothing. It may mean that we feed some people who are hungry, but that's not what we exist for. When Jesus said, let me tell you what I came to do for the poor, I came to preach the gospel to the poor. You see, the Pharisees and the people of Israel had gotten the idea that if you had much, they supposed gain to be godliness. If you have a lot, then you must be godly. And so they would neglect people who were poor because they said, well, God's judgment is already on them. So they would leave them out. But Jesus didn't do that. Jesus came and preached the gospel to everyone. Listen, I think if you see somebody in need, you ought to help them. I think when the church has opportunity to help those in need, we ought to help them. But the greatest way we help anyone is by preaching the gospel to them. Amen. I mean, if we say, be warmed and filled, and we send them on our way, what good have we done? We got to meet the needs of the flesh, but then we've got to meet the needs of the soul. Amen. By doing good, it gives us opportunity. You remember, a woman comes in with a costly box of ointment. She breaks it and she anoints the feet of Jesus, and she wipes his feet with the hair of her head. The tears are running down. And Judas, being a good missionary Baptist, said, man, that money could have been that could have been sold and that money given to the poor. Remember that? Amen. Now we know his heart was wrong. We know he wasn't really concerned about the poor. He was stealing money. He was skimming out of the till. But Jesus said, she's done a good work. Amen. Because the focus was worship. The focus was on the eternal. The focus was on the kingdom of God. Amen. And that's where our focus always has to be. Now, Jesus did say, the poor you're going to have with you always. And the New Testament has a lot to say about how we treat the poor. The Word of God says that we should do them good. Amen. Do them good. Do good to those who are poor. We do good to those that are poor. When the churches in Macedonia and Achaia, they made contribution to the poor saints that were at Jerusalem. God's word says that we need to remember the poor. And that doesn't mean just that we think about them, but the word there, the idea behind it of remembering them means to meet their needs. But friends, we've got to remember our purpose isn't just to give some clothes or some food or do some of that stuff. Our purpose is to get the gospel to them. And it gives us opportunity. It gives us opportunity. The poor are oppressed. Judgment and justice are perverted. When we look at our text, he says, if thou seest the oppression of the poor and violent perverting of judgment and justice in a province, there is violence all over our country today. Now, some of you won't like what I'm about to say, and that's okay. I'm not saying it to make you like it. Everything in this country is divided between the left and the right. But I want you to understand that politically speaking, the left and the right, both sides of those have problems. Just because it's right wing doesn't mean it's right biblically. Just because it's left wing doesn't mean it's right either in our social justice warrior mentality in the world today. Listen, if a police officer murders a citizen, they don't need to be fired. They need to be arrested and prosecuted. And if there are a handful of bad officers in the country today, they need to be dealt with as citizens of the United States of America, as anyone who breaks the law. Amen. Some of you are getting a little nervous right now. You don't like that. But I don't care. That's the truth. Amen. Nobody's above the law. It's also wrong to destroy people's property and to assault police officers and to destroy cities. In response to this injustice, we've got a whole world of people who want to make things right by doing more wrong, and that's not right either. Amen. So, do you understand what I'm saying? There is injustice on every side of the issue. Why? Because people aren't saved, and they act like it. Amen. The problem is when God's people pervert justice and judgment. When God's people go the wrong way. In Ezekiel chapter 45 and verse 9, Ezekiel chapter 45 and verse 9, the word of God says, thus saith the Lord God, let it suffice you, O princes of Israel. Remove violence and spoil and execute judgment and justice. Take away your exactions from my people, saith the Lord God. Perversion of judgment and justice is not a new thing. It's been going on for thousands of years. A perversion of judgment and justice has gone on for a long time, and it's going to continue to. And God's word is going to continue to call people who are in positions of authority to do the right thing. We need leaders in the town of Muldrow to do the right thing. We need leaders in the county of Sequoia to do the right thing. We need leaders in the state of Oklahoma to do the right thing. We need leaders up in Washington, D.C. to do the right thing. We need some Supreme Court justices who will rule rightly and justly according to the truth of the Word of God. And the Word of God is always going to call those in authority to do the right thing. You don't oppress the poor. You don't pervert judgment and justice. You do what is right. Amen. Do what is right. Now, I don't know about you, but when I look at how messed up the world is today, it's easy to get a little discouraged. I mean, I look at some of the rulings that come out of the Supreme Court, and I think there's no hope for our country. I look at some of the things that are happening in Washington, D.C. today, and I think, what has happened? And so I don't know if you ever watch any of the sessions that happen up there and some of the things that are said on the House floor and the Senate floor, but listen to me, it's a circus. Amen. It is ridiculous. Amen. And there is no judgment or justice in that place today. Is there any good up there? Yeah. Are there some men of God up there? No doubt. No doubt. But they're men of God in a sea of demonic activity. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 5. Jeremiah 23 and verse 5. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. Amen. I got good news for you today. Hey, it may never get right in Oklahoma City. Amen. May not. There's opportunity. There are men who profess Christ by the multitudes, by the majority, supermajority, who are there. And there's an opportunity for righteousness to be done in our state. There's been more prayer in the White House in the last 4 years than there has under any other presidency in the past of this country. Now, you may be confused by that if you've ever listened to President Trump say five words. But see, what happened was when God allowed him to become president, he also allowed him to be surrounded by men and women who believe in this book. Amen. And have made prayer a priority in this place. Amen. Am I saying that President Trump's the greatest thing that's ever happened? No. Am I saying that I agree with things that he says all the time? No. Am I saying that I pray for him just like I did Obama? Yes. Amen. And I'm thankful for the men and women of God he surrounded his cabinet with. Amen. But Washington, D.C. may never get it right. Amen. But the King is coming.
Amen.
The King is coming. And he's going to rule with a rod of iron. And he's going to be faithful and true. Amen. And he's going to rule in righteousness. And he's going to bring justice and judgment back to the earth. Amen. There's coming a day, friends, there's coming a kingdom. And we may get a little discouraged and we may be a little dismayed and we may be just mind blown at how messed up things are in America today. But I'm telling you, we don't live for the United States of America. We live for the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't live to serve this nation. We live to serve His kingdom forever and ever.
Amen.
That's what we're here for.
Amen.
That's what we live for. I'm not an ambassador for the United States. I'm an ambassador for Christ.
Amen.
He's coming and He's going to rule and reign. Justice will be served. And when we learn to trust God, we learn to set aside our prerogatives. And when we learn to believe, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord.
Amen.
And we do all that we can, and we vote the very best that we can, and we encourage people the best that we can, and we petition for things that are true the best that we can. But at the end of the day, we know that God is sovereign over all, and He's in control.
Amen.
When we look through the middle of this section of Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 9, basically verses 9 through 19, we see men love money more than they love their soul.
Amen.
What does it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. We need to stand up and identify with Jesus Christ. We need to stand up and stand for the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to learn not to love money and the things of this world more than we love Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's going to be some hard preaching, friends, because it's evident. It's evident. A lot of people are happy to take some overtime, get a little extra, even if it means missing assembling.
Amen.
It means, hey, yeah, I can't go to church, but you know, church, I've been doing that a long time, and it's just church, not a big deal. I don't know where we got the idea that we get to decide what's a big deal and what isn't. I don't remember seeing that revision in the Bible. The call to forsake not the assembling is the same. The call to exhort one another and to provoke and to love and to good works is the same.
Amen.
The call to love the brethren, I don't think that's been taken away out of the Bible. It's going to be evident in our lives. Through this passage, he says, he that loveth silver loveth abundance. He says, what good is there? Did you like that when he said, saving the beholding of them? Hey, some of you got more money than you know what to do with, and what good is it? What good is it? You just sit there and look at your stuff? You don't have time to use any of your stuff because you're too busy going to work so you can pay for the stuff you got. The abundance of the rich will not suffer him to sleep. He said, a man that labors, his sleep is sweet. What's that mean? It means you work hard, you rest well. Amen. And it doesn't matter if you got a whole lot or you just got a little. You know that you did an honest day's work, and that sure makes a soft pillow at night.
Amen.
But the man who's got a bunch, he can't sleep at night because he's so worried about money. He's so worried about what he's got that he doesn't want to lose it. He's so worried about making more. And I promise you, you'll never be satisfied with silver.
Amen.
Go ask Bill Gates if he's got enough. Go ask him. It's never going to be enough. See, we've got to get our eyes on things above, not on things on the earth. There's another vanity, riches that are kept to their hurt. Riches that are kept to their hurt. 1 Timothy 6:10. 1 Timothy 6:10 says, "For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." They love money so much, and the riches that they got, it didn't do them any good. It just brought more pain and sorrow and suffering to their lives.
Amen.
So many people in America today look up to the stars of Hollywood. I still do social media because I'm dumb. I like to punish myself. I still do social media because of the good things that I can reach out to people in the church, and that I can have a platform to reach out to other people, and there's some good things that come from it. But let's just be honest, there's a lot of bad things on social media. Now, when I say that, some of you are thinking, oh yeah, those people on there cussing and sharing all their filthy stuff. No, I'm talking about Christians acting in an unchristian manner.
Amen.
I'm talking about passive aggressive posts that are aimed at somebody in the church or something that's going on in the church. Like nobody knows what that was about.
Amen.
I'm still on there. And sometimes it's kind of rough. But I'm always amazed that people on the political battlefield are always trying to find some celebrity that agrees with their position. Like I see these posts like this movie star says this and this movie star says that, and there's like this battle going on who can get the most Hollywood stars to agree with their position. I'll just go ahead and go out on a limb and say if the majority of Hollywood's in favor of position, it's probably wrong.
Amen.
And even if they get something right, you're talking about holding up the position of someone who literally has become a multimillionaire by being a liar for a profession.
Amen.
They're pretenders. Like their job is to get on screen and pretend to be something they're not.
Amen.
Why is their opinion so valuable? I don't understand that. Anybody? No? Because they got money? Listen, the rich are the ones who oppress the poor.
Amen.
And God help if it's us who oppress them. We see the perversion of justice in the world today. Men love money more than they love their own soul. He says, riches perish by evil travail. Because his heart is set on it, that money goes away, he has a son, and his son has nothing in his hand. We all remember this one. Naked shall he return to go as he came, and shall take nothing. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 7, you remember, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out.
Amen.
We've all heard the old story. You never see a hearse pulling a U-Haul. The richest man in town died. Some of the guys were standing on the side of the road at the funeral procession, and being good fellas like they were, they stood on the side of the road with their hat over their heart. The procession went by. He was the richest man in town, and one fellow leaned over and he said, "How much did he leave behind?" And the other guy said, "All of it." But my favorite, there was a lady who had been married to a man for some time, and her husband was very, very wealthy, and he loved his money. And before he died, he said, "Honey, I want you to promise me that you'll let me take it all with me. I want to take it all with me." He didn't want to leave any to anybody. He didn't want to leave any to her or anybody else or any charities. He wanted it all. He was covetous. He loved his money. So before they closed the casket for the last time, she wrote a check in the amount of his net worth and put it in the coffin with him. Amen. Come on, people, that's funny. You didn't bring anything into this world, and you're not going to take anything out with you.
Amen.
We get so concerned. What do we need? Oh, I need what I need today. And God has promised to provide our needs.
Amen.
And tomorrow, He'll give me everything I need tomorrow. He's no under no obligation to give me what I want.
Amen.
And yet He lavishes on us so much more than we need.
Amen.
And we continue with our grumbling and complaining and murmuring and unthankful hearts. God, help us to learn to be thankful. God provides. God provides. What profit hath he that laboreth for the wind? He eateth in darkness and has much sorrow and wrath with his sickness. And the love of money is a disease.
Amen.
And it's a grief to you and everyone around you. So we see the perversion of justice and judgment. And I want you to notice back in verse 8. If thou seest the oppression of the poor, the violent perverting of judgment and justice in a province, marvel not at the matter, for he that is higher than the highest regardeth. What does that mean? It means that there is a God in heaven. He is the most high God, and he sees what's going on in the world today.
Amen.
He sees the oppression of the poor, and he will stand up for them. He is the defender of the weak. And that's why you don't want to be the one oppressing the poor, because you put yourself in a very dangerous situation when we oppress the poor. Because God's the one who will defend those who cannot defend themselves. He regardeth. God is in heaven. He is higher than the highest. In Genesis chapter 14, verses 19 and 20. Genesis chapter 14, verses 19 and 20, the word of God says, "And he blessed him and said, Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thine hand." And he gave him tithes of all. Abraham gave tithes of everything he got in the spoil from rescuing his people. He gave tithes to Melchizedek in honor of God. And listen, God is the Most High God. Psalm 92, verses 7 and 8. When the wicked spring as the grass, when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. But thou, Lord, art most high forevermore.
Amen.
Listen, the wicked and the workers of iniquity, they may flourish for a time, but God is the final judge. God is the final judge. God sees what's going on in the world today. Maybe it's you. Maybe you are oppressed. Maybe you've personally suffered some injustice. Maybe you are crying out to God for judgment. And I want you to know today, God regards. God regardeth. He that is higher than the highest. Do you believe God created the universe?
Amen.
That he opened his mouth and the stars flew out.
Amen.
Do you believe that God knitted you together in your mother's womb? Brother Matt preached about that at camp this week. How that God, he wove you together in your mother's womb. He formed you. Do you believe that?
Amen.
For those of you who are saved, do you believe that God in heaven was able to save a wretch like you? God cares about judgment and justice so much that Jesus Christ put on human flesh and lived as one of us without sin. God believes in judgment and justice so much that Jesus Christ became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross.
Amen.
You see, God doesn't just forgive us based on the fact that he's good and loving. He forgives us based on the fact that Jesus Christ paid the price for our sins. You're not forgiven just because you ask God to forgive you. You're forgiven based on the merits of what Jesus did for you when he died on the cross.
Amen.
God will see judgment and justice done because he regards. So remember this. If you are oppressed, if injustices are done to you, God will get justice one day.
Amen.
Remember this. If you are oppressing others, if you are being unjust to others, God will get justice one day.
Amen.
So we better trust in the Lord and keep his commandments.
Amen.
This morning we're going to get ready for a verse of invitation. And while they're coming, I want to ask you to stand with me, please. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visitest him? Friends, God sees, God knows, and God loves you. God knows everything about you. He knows every wicked thought that you've ever had, every idle word you've ever spoken. He knows the very numbers of the hairs that are on your head, or how many are missing. And he loves you. And he loves you. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, you can have eternal life today, and you can be just in the eyes of God based on what Christ did for you. If you've never been born again, you pray, you ask Jesus to be your Savior today. Trust in him. If you are saved but you've never been baptized, you need to identify with Jesus publicly. You need to step out and say, Jesus is my Savior, and I want to walk in newness of life. If you've been unjust, you need to repent. And if you've suffered injustice, you need to cry out to God. If the Holy Spirit's convicting your heart this morning, you come while we sing.